Glad to be able to come together this evening to worship and to study together. I'm going to look today, or this evening, at Acts chapter 12. In Acts chapter 12, and beginning in Acts chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when they had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after the Passover." Now the early church endured great persecution, and almost from the beginning. And in Acts chapter 4 here, Peter and John had been questioned about the healing of a lame man. And they were arrested. They were put in prison for a time coming up for the council. And they were threatened, told not to speak anymore in the name of Christ. And so they were then let go. And Acts chapter 4 and verse 29 says, "Now, and the church gathered together when they were released, and they prayed and said, 'And now, Lord, look upon their threatenings and grant unto thy servants to speak your word with all boldness.'" Notice when Peter and John and the others were arrested and put in prison and they were released, what they prayed for. They didn't pray for God to take away the persecution. They said they prayed for them to be given boldness and strength to preach the word faithfully and zealously. In Acts chapter 5, the leaders of the Jews, upset and jealous about the apostles and the followers they were gaining, the Bible says there that Peter and John and others were imprisoned. This time they were beaten and imprisoned, but finally they were delivered, and they were brought out of that from the council. And the Bible says in Acts 5 and verse 29, and again, it's a reaction that may surprise us. They said in Acts chapter 5, when they were threatened even with death, they said, "We must obey God rather than men." In Acts chapter 7, we have Stephen, who preached the gospel message showing Jesus Christ was the Messiah. In fact, that's one of the longest sermons in the Bible that is recorded in Acts chapter 7. And it wasn't Jesus, it wasn't one of the prophets of the Old Testament, or one of the apostles, it was Stephen. And he preached the gospel, and the Bible says at the end they were cut to the heart. And same things it says in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. But their reaction was much different. On Pentecost, there were about 3,000 that believed and obeyed the gospel and baptism on that day. When they heard Stephen preach, they were cut to the heart, and they reacted violently. They ran upon him and took him out and stoned him to death. And in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, there was a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus who kept their outer coats on by him while they stoned Stephen to death. And his name, of course, was Saul of Tarsus. And the Bible says he was consenting to his death. So the man that later became the great apostle Paul was consenting to the stoning of Stephen. So the persecution now in Acts chapter 12 is a little bit later. It was Herod the king is identified there. His actual name was Herod Agrippa the First. He was the son of Herod Aristobulus, and he was the great grandson, the great grandson of the Herod the king that tried to have Jesus put to death when he was first born and kill the baby boys of Bethlehem. So it was not a good family. And of course, tradition says this would have been about 44, 45 AD, which would be 12 or 13 years after the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. So we look then back to Acts chapter 12 and verse 1. It says there, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Now, by blood and by descendancy, this Herod was an Idumean. Now, Idumean is a word that comes originally from the term Edomite. The Edomites were descendants of Esau, and they intermarried with certain of the Jews and the Israelites over a period of time. And so, in a sense, they were cousins to the Jews. Well, the Herod kings were part Jewish and part Gentile and part Idumean. But we find then he was a descendant of Esau, Jacob's brother, and that sold his birthright to Jacob for basically a bowl of soup. And so this is a descendant of that same man. And so he is now the king appointed by the Romans, actually, over that part of the land of Israel. But by religion, he was a Jew, nominally speaking. He wasn't really dedicated so much. But during the time between the Old and the New Testament, there was a group of people led, first of all, by a man by the name of Judas Maccabeus. And he led a rebellion against the Syrians who had kind of taken over that part of Israel. And he led a rebellion against them, and he was successful. And part of these Edomite kings came from them. The Edomites were conquered by Judas Maccabeus and forced to accept the law of Moses if they were going to be the rulers of the Jews of the time. So most of the Herod kings would go through the outward ceremonies of being faithful to God, but it didn't really mean anything to them. They just did that so they would maintain the support of the people, and in particular, the Sanhedrin Council. But the position as a ruler, Herod was the family name. It wasn't the individual name of the people. There was, for example, here is Herod Agrippa I, and then Herod Aristobulus, and Herod Agrippa II, and the others that came along there. The Herod was actually a family name. And they were the rulers in that particular time over the province of Judea and some of the other provinces around. Previous persecutions of the church had been mainly instigated by Jewish rulers, but these were instigated by Herod himself. This was different because it originated also not with the religious authority, which had been the Sanhedrin Council, the scribes, the Pharisees, and others. But this was by the civil authority, the king, which was a man that was appointed basically by the Romans to be king over that territory. But his ancestry, as I said before, was what we might call notorious. He was the great-grandson of Herod the Great, as he was called. You might wonder, well, why was he called Herod the Great? That's because he was a great builder in the city of Jerusalem. He built a lot of buildings and other kinds of things and monuments and all of those. And so, he had a very elaborate palace there that he built for himself. So he was called Herod the Great. But again, in Matthew chapter 2, he was the one that ordered the killing of all the baby boys in Bethlehem under the age of 2, hoping that he would kill this Jesus, this Messiah that was to be born, this King of the Jews. Of course, we know that it didn't work because God told Joseph and Mary to get out of there and take Jesus to Egypt, which they did. Then there is Herod Antipas, his uncle, and this one had John the Baptist beheaded in Matthew chapter 11. And so that's the kind of family they were. They likely received very much hatred for the Christians because they were looked upon as in rebellion against their authority or power. And then his son, Herod Agrippa II, was the one before whom Paul was going to make his defense in Acts chapter 26. So they are kind of an integral part of the first 30 or 40 years of the church, as well as from the time that Christ began upon the earth. But they persecuted. Again, chapter 12, beginning at verse 2, it says, Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. That was during the days of the unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after the Passover. He didn't want to get into putting Peter to death during the Passover. That would have turned the people against him. Verse 5, he says, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Herod didn't want anything happening to the Apostle Peter until the time was right. And so not only did he have all of these soldiers guarding him, in the inner part of the prison, he was chained to two other soldiers, one on each side. So he wanted to make sure that Peter couldn't get away. And so then we find as we read that, and it was the third persecution. The leaders were spared and the members came and were persecuted sometimes. In Acts chapter 8, verse 1, it said there, And there arose a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And so sometimes it was against the apostles and the leaders, sometimes against the individual Christians. In Acts chapter 8, the Bible says when this persecution began, they were scattered everywhere. And instead of destroying the church, they went everywhere preaching the word of God. And as persecution then, the members were spared. And here in particular in this passage, two of the apostles were arrested. And so we looked then, who was put to death? It says, James, the brother of John, he killed with a sword. This is, in a, as I said, this is basically the third persecution. James was the first apostle, as far as we know, to die for the cause of Christ. Now, according to tradition, all of the apostles except John died a violent death by persecution. John, according to tradition, died of natural causes somewhere around 100 A.D. But we look at that. You think about James. He had the same power and a privilege of the other apostles. He had been a great man in the faith. He was the brother of John. And he had been admitted to the closest circle of Jesus' apostles and disciples. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 51, it says, When he, that's Jesus, came to the house, he allowed not any man to enter in with him, save Peter and John and James. That's when he came to raise someone from the dead. And so they were allowed to come in with him. In Matthew chapter 17 and verse 1, it says, After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and brought them up into the high mountain apart, the Mount of Transfiguration. James was one of those that went there with Jesus and was allowed to see Jesus in his glorified form. And there he also saw Moses and Elijah appearing with him. And so that was the kind of man James was. He was in the inner circle of apostles, as they are sometimes called, but now by means of a violent death, he was going home to be with the Lord. Jesus had foretold of these sufferings. Turn over to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. And Matthew chapter 20, and beginning at verse 20. He says, And then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with their sons, kneeling down and asking something for him. And he said to her, What do you wish? And she said to him, that's to Jesus, Grant that these two my sons may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left hand in your kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink, to be baptized with the baptism that I'm about that baptism with that I am about to receive? They said to him, "We are able." And he says in verse 23, he said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I'm about to be baptized with. But to sit on the right hand or on my left is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father." What Jesus was telling them was, yes, you're going to be suffering the same baptism of suffering and fire that I'm going to receive. And we know that that's what happened to James. He was beaten on occasions. He had all kinds of persecution. And finally, he was put to death by Herod. As John, he wasn't put to death, but he had many different sufferings. In fact, in the book of Revelation, he was in the island of Patmos during that time, which was a prison island, and he was sent there in exile by the Roman authorities. But we also look at Peter. He was seized and he was put in prison. And probably Herod had heard of the imprisonment of the 12 and their mysterious escape in Acts chapter 5. And he knew about that, and he wanted to make sure, if possible, that that didn't happen again. You go over Acts chapter 5 and then verse 17. It says, "Then the high priest rose up and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation. They laid their hands on the apostles and put them in common prison. But at night an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, 'Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all these words of life.' Then when they had heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent them to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they did not find them in the prison. They had returned, saying, 'Indeed, we have found the prison shut securely and the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside.'" So Herod didn't want that to happen again. He didn't want them to get away. He wanted to make sure Peter was there after the Passover and those things so he could have him put to death. He tried to make Peter's imprisonment as sure as possible. And again, the motive was he wanted to make sure and probably make some spectacle out of the death of Peter to warn others who would turn away from him and teach the word of God. It was effective, but what was effective? Well, the church came together and they began to pray about it. It showed their faith in God and their love for the Apostle Peter. Peter, although, seemed undisturbed by this whole thing. And it's hard for me, maybe you, to comprehend. Now, there he was chained between two soldiers, the guards at the door, and all of those things. And he's just sleeping peacefully there. And he might have been executed the next day, and he probably thought he would have been. But there was deliverance. Look at chapter 12 and verse 7. It says, "Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, 'Arise quickly,' and his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, 'Gird yourself and tie on your sandals.' So he did. And he said to him, 'Put on your garment and follow me.' So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but he thought he was seeing a vision." Often I wondered about that chapter, about that verse there. He really thought he was actually seeing a vision. He was still chained there, but he really wasn't. Then he says in verse 10, "When they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, 'Now for a certain I know that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people.' So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, and where many were gathered together praying. And as they knocked at the door of the gate," a girl, as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer, and she recognized Peter's voice. And because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. I've always thought that was kind of a funny passage there. Instead of just opening the gate, she had to run back, and she was excited and told him, Peter is there. Now, verse 15, but they said to her, you're beside yourself. Yet she kept insisting that it was so. And so they said, it is his angel. Now, Peter continued knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. She wasn't, but they were. And so he says, but motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go and tell these things to James and to the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. This is James, the brother of Jesus, not the apostle who had been put to death. And so it says then in verse 18, it says, then as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had become of Peter. I can only imagine what kind of a stir that would cause. But when Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. And when he went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. So that's the kind of man Herod was. He didn't, even though I'm sure he must have understood that God had done this, but he had the soldiers put to death anyway because they had let him go, seemingly. So the deliverance was given, and this was brought by an angel of the Lord. The light shone in the prison, and evidently Peter was the only one that could see that light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So Peter was allowed to be in the light of God. There was joy, there was amazement among the people. They had come together specifically to pray for Peter, to have him delivered. And when he was, they couldn't believe it. They were astonished. They were amazed. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 23, Jesus said, but when they persecute you in this city, flee unto the next. In other words, you go wherever you have to go, but you continue to take the message. And it says that Peter departed and left for another place. So he did. Exactly as the Lord commanded. But there was confusion in the camp. Again, look at verse 18. It says, then as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had become of Peter. He was in the inner prison. He was in chains, chained to two different soldiers. And he still, God allowed him to be delivered through the angel. The guards were killed. Herod had no alternative but to admit that the miracle had been done or to accuse the soldiers of negligence. So he had them put to death rather than face the obvious and admit the obvious. Being unwilling to admit the miracle, there was nothing left for him to do but to order their execution. So Herod, in his anger and his frustration, the Bible says, went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. So he was probably embarrassed about that. He had Peter right there to put him to death, and he got away. But why did the Lord allow James to be killed and Peter to be rescued? We don't know. We don't know. God did not tell us why he allowed one to happen and the other not. Now, was it because James had finished his work and Peter hadn't? Well, perhaps that's the answer. But someone said one time, every man is immortal until his work is done, as far as God is concerned. And evidently, James' work was done. But what can we learn? Well, we have to be faithful in spite of persecution. Peter was faithful. The church was faithful. They didn't scatter. They didn't lose their faith because James was put to death and Peter was arrested. Also, we have to learn that faith will preserve us for the Lord. Someday deliverance will come. It may not be in the way that we want or we think it should, but God will take care of us. Also, we have to learn that God cares about his people as individuals. And we look at that, and We think, well, what then happened to Herod? We'll turn over to Acts chapter 12, beginning at verse 20. Acts chapter 12 and verse 20. We see the other side of what happened. Peter was delivered and went on for quite a few more years preaching and teaching and being an apostle of Christ. Then verse 20, it says, "Now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord, having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend. And they asked for peace because their country was supplied with food by the king's country." Now here is some of his subjects under his authority. And they didn't want to make themselves look bad before Herod, so they came and were going to apply to him for more food and such and try to get on his good side. Verse 21, "So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to the people. And the people kept shouting, 'The voice of a god and not of a man.' And immediately an angel of the Lord struck him, because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and died." That's what happened to Herod. Because of what he did to James, to Peter, because he did not give God the glory. A rather ignominious death that he died. But notice the other side, verse 24. "But the word of God grew and multiplied." And so God caused things to come out right, even though they might not have understood how or why. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And the Apostle Peter, of course, being the writer there. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 6 and 7. He says there, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you." That's what Peter did. He was relaxed. He went to sleep before he was possibly going to be put to death the next morning. And yet he trusted in the Lord, and the Lord delivered him. We look at this and realize, now ultimately, if we're faithful to God, he's going to take care of us now and forever. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, he said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." But we have to be faithful to him. This evening, if you need to respond to the invitation, won't you do so as we stand and as we sing.